Sarah, we have an entire department consecrated to ensuring that it will come to that. Officially, Nigeria's pretty safe, and she's got no family here by her own admission. There's bugger all reason for them to let her stay.
I can't not try.
You'll get dragged down by the bureaucracy, and then they'll send her home anyway. You'll get hurt. It will damage you. And that's the last thing you need at the moment. You need positive influences in your life. You've got a son that you have to bring up on your own now. You need people that are going to give you energy, not drain it away.
And that's you, is it?
Lawrence looked back at me and shifted his weight forward.
I want to be important to you, Sarah. I've wanted it from the moment you walked into my life with your reporter's notepad that you never wrote down a single word on, and your dictaphone that you didn't even switch on. And I haven't let you down, Sarah, have I? Despite everything. Despite my wife and despite your husband and despite bloody well everyone. We have fun together, Sarah. Isn't that what you want?
I sighed. I really don't think this is about having fun anymore.
And do you see me running away? This is about us doing what's best for you. I'm not going to stop just because it's gone all serious. But you have to choose. I can't help you if all your focus is on that girl.
I felt the blood draining out of my face. I spoke as quietly and calmly as I could. Tell me you're not asking me to choose between you and her.
I am absolutely not asking you to do that. But what I am saying is that you're going to have to choose between your life and her life. At some point you have to start thinking about a future for you and Charlie. Charity is lovely, Sarah, but there has to be some logical point where it stops.
I banged my damaged hand down on the table, fingers splayed out. I cut off my finger for that girl. Will you tell me when is the logical point to stop something that started like that? Do you really want me to make a choice like that? I cut off my own bloody finger. Do you think I wouldn't cut you off too?
Silence. Lawrence stood up, his chair scraped.
I'm sorry, he said. I shouldn't have come.
No, maybe you shouldn't.
I sat at the kitchen table and listened to Lawrence taking his coat from the peg in the hall and picking up his travel bag. When I heard the front door opening, I stood up. Lawrence was halfway down the path by the time I got to the door.